Now it's time to talk to Kwenga from Alum's Attorneys. And this morning we're talking about schools and changing schools. Kwenga, morning, good morning and welcome to the show and Happy New Year to you and to everybody at Alum's.
Good morning to you too, Wayne, and good morning to your listeners. Happy New Year to you too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And today, as you mentioned in the preamble, schools open this week. Changing schools, that could be a bit of a rigmarole.
Yes, Wayne. So what tends to happen, which is very unfortunate, is that most couples over December or January, they decide to split or go their separate ways. So then people find themselves in a situation where the children are at the center of the rift between the parents. So what tends to happen is that children could have gone to the father during the festive season, or they could have gone to the mother, depending which parent the children were staying with. And then you find yourself in an unfortunate situation where children have to go back to school or go back to the respective parent, and then the other parent decides that they're not sending back the child, and which is very unfortunate. Because what tends to happen is that if parents are going through a divorce, or there could be a situation where they're not seeing eye to eye, they can approach attorneys, they can approach family advocate that is able to help people with a parenting plan, which sets out various attributes such as the children's care, going to school, the attendance, which parent is taking the child to the school, which parent is fetching the child, and also things like buying of stationery. So parents tend not to see eye to eye, which could cause a major problem. It is always vital to remember that when couples divorce, it doesn't end there. They need to take the children into account. We've had an unfortunate situation at Adam's Attorneys last week, where a child was meant to be returned to her father, but the mother decided, no, not only am I not returning the child, but I'm taking the child to a new school. And we tried to approach the court last week on Friday, how magistrate was still on leave, but we're able to do an urgent application, which will be resolved today. However, that puts the child in a position where they don't go to school. So, for example, the child is not going to school today because it still needs to be sorted out in court.
And I suppose that has implications for enrollment, preparing the child, plus it's just very, very disruptive for the child in terms of, you know, continuity of their school career.
Oh, definitely, because he goes to a private school, so they had started last week Wednesday. So he went for one day, and he's still below the age of 10. Saw his friends, and then he might never see them again. So such things can be really disruptive for a child. But there are avenues where a person can look at, such as Section 18 of the Children's Act, which outlines parental responsibilities and rights of both parents in relation to a child. It covers a wide range of issues, including the right to make decisions regarding the child's education, healthcare, and general well-being. So what has happened, parents shouldn't take decisions by themselves, especially if there's a parenting plan. Because if someone is in breach of that parenting plan, they can be held accountable and be in contempt of court. And then there's subsection 2, small letter A, which also refers to parents' responsibility to the care of the child, which includes taking the child. For example, there could be instances where there's joint custody. If there's joint custody and it was stipulated in a divorce that both parents will be able to make decisions, one parent cannot simply just take the child to another school without speaking to the other parent. Because if you take the child to another school, there could be financial implications which could cause a problem to the other parents, which would then result going to maintenance court. And I don't think it's healthy for parents to continue going to court, especially if children are young. I think parents should try to work together to solve issues regarding children.
And then, carry on.
Well, there's Section 33, which is very important, of the Children's Act, which also deals with the appointment of the primary caregiver. So what happens is that there could be situations where parents have been divorced for, let's say, a couple of years, and you find yourself with another family, and then the child lives with the one parent. As much as you can, you have to consult your ex-spouse about what should happen. The court can grant you authority to make decisions that are needed. So, for example, if the child goes to school on the first day, and then at school they say, "We're not happy with your haircut. You have to cut your hair." Then a parent can, if they've given authority, to make decisions. Because believe it or not, some parents actually fight about a haircut. So
yes, yes.
So it definitely happens. And then there's... Oh, sorry, you can go.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, you know, you talk about a haircut that they fight over, which means that there's obviously bigger problems. You know, if they can't even... reach agreement on something as simple as a haircut, then you can just imagine that more serious issues within the for the child's well-being would also be major stumbling blocks.
No, definitely. There have been multiple cases that have dealt with this topic, such as the case of Nell versus Nell. In the matter, the mother decided to put the child in a different school without consulting the father. However, the court held that both parents need to consult one another before making such decision. To conclude, while parents may sometimes hold joint custody with the child, dividing their time equally between each parent's home is more common. Therefore, the parent can decide to make a decision regarding the child's upbringing and how he has to go to school. So, for example, when we just spoke about the haircut, it is important to note that there could be other issues that arise where a child might find themselves that they're not feeling well at school, and the one parent doesn't know that. So they might call the parent that enrolled the child in a new school. They call him, maybe he's diabetic, and the other parent doesn't know that the child is diabetic because they're not speaking. So that could be a problem, because if he needs urgent help at school, medical help, then it could be a problem. And then what we need to focus on, it could happen where parents just decide, you know what, I'm not going to entertain anything. I don't want anything to do with the other parent. Like I stated earlier, a parent can approach an attorney. If a parent unilaterally change the child's school without the parent's consent, and there is a joint custody order from court, then they can approach an attorney. We are able to, even at Alums, to help out by bringing an urgent application at court to make sure that the child stays at the school that they're at. In order to make sure that they've been doing well. So there's things that we consider. For example, in our situation at Adams, where we had to bring an urgent application for today, we considered the fact that the child was happy. They've consulted with psychologists. We considered the December report, which showed that the child was excelling at school. He was asked about his friends at school. And we also interviewed the teachers. And everyone is happy to have him around. So it doesn't make sense for a parent to want to move a child because of the issues with the other spouse.
Right. And, when it comes to moving children, now, you know, just as an example, Chenga, you mentioned that this case that you spoke about was involving a, pupils at private schools. But what would happen if, let's say hypothetically, the child is in a government school, maybe even one of the, let's say, one of the schools in Mtanzani, for instance, where it's maybe not all efficiently run. The schools are overcrowded, and you know there's no place for the child at a particular school, maybe near to where the parent has decided to move to. I mean, what would happen then? You know, you'd obviously have a bigger scenario and a bigger problem to deal with in terms of abiding by the laws, for instance, that the child needs to be in school, for starters.
Well, definitely. There is Department of Education to assist in that regard. So, for example, children do get first preference if they live closer to the school, in order to, especially in public schools, in order to avoid, with the government and the transport. So there's a bus system that children use, which has been in disrepute for a couple of years. So what tends to happen with some parents, they do go to Department of Education. It's called Khobusane in Mtanzania. You approach and you provide the necessary documents. You show that your child, you show your address, that you reside closer to the school, and then they're able to enroll your child. However, what people need to consider is that schools now, they look at certificates where both parents have signed. So they require statements from both the father and the mother. To avoid issues where a child starts today and then is removed next week, because the situation, like I said, the child could have gone to the new school. He registered on Friday. He could have gone to the new school on Friday, and then we go to court today, was successful, and then he has to go back to his old school again. So imagine changing two schools in the space of 30 business days.
Yes.
It's not ideal for a young child.
Obviously very, very disruptive.
Definitely. What tends to happen is that there's parents where you find out that they're not happy with what happens. Because sometimes the process can be slow, where they bring social workers, and sometimes parents are not happy, or sometimes they feel that the social worker is siding with the other parent. So we are able to assist the Adams attorneys with such problems. It's because if a social worker gives a report and then the client is not happy, then we can challenge the report. For example, we had a matter last year where the social worker gave a report, and then he had to testify in court. In court, we asked him, have you interviewed the child? He said no. Literally took the other person's statement and then just used it. So we do counter issues like that, but we do resolve them as well.
Change
in this regard, yes.
Oh. And I suppose you'd fulfill a role of, call it, I'll use the term loosely in inverted commas, watchdog, you know, just to kind of make sure that for instance, the social worker's report is actually accurate and has been properly researched, because you know the social worker's report carries a lot of weight, so you would actually want to be 100% sure that social worker has done due diligence.
Yes, definitely. What tends to happen sometimes is that parents can unfortunately parents fight about financial issues. So one parent can want to appoint a social worker privately. However, like with the question that you asked earlier, if someone goes to a school where they don't have the necessary funds, a social worker will be appointed by the court, which they will be impartial, and they answer to the court, not the attorneys, which also assists. So justice is served to everyone, not just people with financial means.
And So, you know, looking at the process, you know, if you do find yourself in a situation where, and I'm guessing it would basically be a custody dispute of sorts, and you might be in the process of a custody battle and custody dispute, and that's where these types of issues find themselves. Would as you mentioned, you know, that Alam's attorneys have handled cases, that would be one place to stop in would be at your attorney, to try and get an impartial opinion and an impartial assistance on the matter.
Yes, no, definitely we are trained in that regard, and we are able to assist, and people who want to come to Alam's attorneys can find us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Alam's is spelled A-L-L-A-M-S. And we are situated at number 6 Sansom Road in Vincent. Mm-hmm. It's the same street with Pep Store.
Okay.
Same street with Pep Store. And our contact number is 043-721-1018. So people are able to call, and we are 24 hours, so as much as maybe they cannot get us at the office after hours, but we are able to assist, especially because it's January and everything is happening so quickly, and schools are opening this week, yes.
So if there are any issues that need to be resolved, you can get hold of Alam's. Kwenga, thank you very, very much for chatting to us today, and looking forward to chatting next week with another Legal Eagle topic.
Thank you.
Thanks. Cheers, Ben. Thanks, and cheers. That's it, Kwenga, with today's Legal Eagle topic, changing schools and in the sort of under the dispute scenarios where parents might not be seeing eye to eye, and unfortunately, sadly, the children are the ones that bear the brunt of it. But if you want to re-listen to this chat, it will be available on our website later on today, wildcoastradio.co.za.